I'm Ninja Sister.
And I'm Pandalicious.
And this
is the Eshcast.
This is Electric Sisterhood, podcast episode number 606. You got me at free. This is Electric Sisterhood, home of the original.
The fucking original.
Girl gaming, tech gadget, and anime podcast. I am Ninja Sister.
And I'm Pandalicious.
Welcome to a brand new episode of our weekly podcast, Panda.
Hi.
How you doing?
I'm alive.
Girl, I got way too much energy for a weekend.
I'm very surprised at this, because usually you're like a steady Eddie, and I'm like rando over here. So like,
yeah, no, I very much am functioning as if I have been running on deep Eddie, but no, got all this energy because I got good night's sleep. I got my place pretty much clean. You know, my one deep cleaning I do a year. It was time.
I think you should do a deep clean, a semi-deep clean, semi-annually.
Yeah, I mean, you know what? You got to have goals, right?
In a perfect world, you'd have that system locked down.
In a perfect world, I would have people clean my house for me regularly. In a perfect world. I'm not a manual labor kind of gal.
I can't say anything cuz
I know that about myself.
My house, so.
Okay. I know that about myself. Like, unless it's hooking up AV systems, not so much into the manual labor.
Got it.
It's not a thing I enjoy and or seek out. It's the one place in my space where I, you know, acknowledge that I'm bougie. Or lazy. I mean, pick them. They're kind of interchangeable in this spot.
Right. You can be both in this world.
Yes. Hashtag squad goals. It was time because I needed to reorg some things, get my systems realigned. And I was like, you know what? It's time. It's time to do this deep clean. Let's get in the corners. Let me get the feather duster out. I'm actually going to dust, you know, that deep clean. Especially since the weather's changing and all that good kind of stuff. And my reward for doing that was that
I was like,
when I'm done, I'm going to play games until I can't move my fingers anymore and pass out, which is what I did.
Then you pass out.
And then you pass out. You know, like you're supposed to. But before we get into the show, because I know you've got some stuff that you want to talk about, I've got a game that I want to talk about. I just want to talk just in general about, you know, what's happening in the world, because Call of Duty dropped. And, like, everybody in the world was like, Call of Duty. And I was like, I'm not even
really
remotely.
See, I totally didn't even register in my brain.
It was a blip. Like, I knew it was coming. Like I had said earlier on, I had no intentions of playing this Call of Duty. I'm not a huge Call of Duty fan, but I do enjoy some of the games. You know, I like the Modern Warfare franchise, and I like Advanced Warfare as well. I enjoyed the last Advanced Warfare game tremendously. When it comes to shooters, you know, Call of Duty is kind of the guy, right? I'm not a big fan of zombies. That's just not where I live. Like, I got no problem with it. It's just not where I live. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I just like a good story with a good shooter. And both Modern Warfare and Advanced Warfare give me those. So I enjoy those games. But I don't play multiplayer because I had a bad experience. And I say a bad. Like every time I go into multiplayer in Call of Duty, ultimately there's always something that I hear that is said in my direction that is atrocious and I leave. Never to return. And then I go, why did I do that? I knew that was going to happen. Sometimes I will give the community this much. It does take longer than it did before. Now it's usually about 15 minutes in before I hear something, where before it was usually like anywhere between a minute to three before I heard something derogatory, sexist, racist. I mean, pick a ist.
Right.
So you know, and I don't have a lot of friends that play Call of Duty online, so I don't play Call of Duty online. I'm strictly a single-player campaign person. So therefore, there wasn't a heck of a whole lot for me in this Call of Duty outing, so I didn't get it. Now, a bunch of my friends, who I will say are dudes, are loving it and have no issues, but they don't have the experience that I have, so I expected them to have a good time and to say, you know, that they were enjoying the game. And if you enjoy the game, that's great. And if you're a chicken, you're able to enjoy the game, that's awesome. I'm just not, you know, nips at on point for Call of Duty this go around. So
I'm just going to retract right now. I may come back to it. I may not. Right.
Like, there's too many other things out there in the world to play. But I was glad to see that, you know, it released. It was doing well. You know, I'm always glad to see Activision successful. So, you know, keep doing what you're doing. Rock it out.
It's like that old flame. Like, you were hot and heavy for a while, and then you both changed. You knew it was time to, like, take a step back. And, like, you've crossed the street, and you kind of look back like, oh, I remember those days, but I ain't going back there.
Right.
It's that. It's that, right. But with video games.
Yeah. Yeah. That's very accurate. The other thing that I saw just kind of floating around, which I thought was amazing, is I can't remember her name right now, but the voice actress who does the lines for Mercy in Blizzard's Overwatch game.
Yeah, I heard. She wanted them to allow them to put in a... having Mercy say, like, go heal yourself.
Yes. Yeah, she really wants Mercy to have a go heal yourself line.
I would love. I think I would actually probably play Overwatch.
I haven't touched Overwatch in a while.
My husband both bought PS4 copies of it so that we would essentially play together. We opened his copy and played on the big TV. Mine is, I'm staring at it right now in my studio.
You still haven't played God of War, though, so, like, you can't touch it.
It's still in its shrink wrap. Right.
Yeah.
But at least God of War doesn't have its shrink wrap on anymore. It has made the progress of, you know, shedding the protective layer to be played.
Uh-huh. It just hasn't been played yet.
It just has not been played yet.
Yeah, you
Once
really
I'm
do
done
need
with
to
Dragon
play
Quest after I get through my
Yeah, that's what you said after
Dragon
Monster Quest. Hunter, and that's what you said after, you know, after
right,
Octopath.
So I stopped playing Monster Hunter for Octopath Traveler, then I did about 80 hours in Octopath Traveler. Now
this is what I'm saying.
5 hours in Dragon Quest.
Right? Like, God of War was going to happen after Monster Hunter. Oh no, then here comes Octopath. No, after as soon as I finish Octopath, then I'm going to play God of War. Then what happened? Like, you need to set a date. Like, you need to set a date right now. Say it out loud on the podcast. I think that you should set October 20th.
Before Father's Day.
That's such bullshit. No, it has to be in the calendar year.
Yeah.
This calendar year, not 2019. 2018.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes. Why? You're not going
to
play...
I cannot commit to that.
You're not going to play Soul Calibur, even though I told you you're going to have to play with me. You're not.
You say I'm going to have to play that. We'll see if that happens.
That's what I'm saying. I said you're going to have to play it. You're not. So, like, you're not going to play Soul Calibur, and you have to get it in before Red Dead 2. Because Red Dead 2 is going to take your life.
I'm not really all that interested.
Bullshit.
No, I'm legit not. My husband probably will play it because he used to work for Rockstar back in the day, and he's kind of curious if, like, very much like the X, if it's better without him or with him. I think it's better. It was better with him. He was probably going to play it. I'm probably going to watch him play it, but I actually do not have a strong desire.
Really? Why?
To jump into a Rockstar game.
Is it just Rockstar game in general, or is it this franchise?
I think my taste in what I want to invest in my gaming time,
uh-huh,
it's kind of shifted right now. Because,
okay, fair.
Like, I think, like, I enjoyed the time I spent playing GTA 5.
Yeah.
But I never finished. I think I got to maybe 38% of that game.
Yeah, because then you jumped into the online.
A mm-hmm. bit. But then I kind of fell out of that. And I think, I don't know if it's maybe just a matter of the stuff that I went and participated in GTA 5, like, I went to try all the newer stuff that they hadn't done in their games yet, but there was still a whole lot of stuff there that they've they've done.
Yeah.
Like, I think, and I mean, don't get me wrong, like, Rockstar, I love Bully, love GTA, loved Red Dead. Like, I'm not mad at any of those franchises, but I just feel that among the sea of all this new innovation that we've seen come out in terms of hardware and software and indie developers, that, you know, I feel like Rockstar needs to take a risk, and they're not in the mindset to do that.
Well, you know, they did change quite a few things in the game, right?
Yeah, and like I said, I'm going to watch my husband play it, and if I get inspired from that, then maybe I'll venture into it, but...
I mean, because a couple of the big things that you have typically, like, wished for games to do, Red Dead is doing. So when you, as an example, when you change your outfit, it actually impacts your gameplay. So heavier clothes make you slower.
I've seen that kind of happen in Dark Souls.
Right. But I'm just saying, you got to remember, these two games are games that probably are not necessarily games that every person who plays games play, right? Like,
right.
Someone who plays Dark Souls, like you play Dark Souls, more than likely is never coming up for air to play a lighter game.
You don't know that for
sure. I'm going to say RPG. If you're a hardcore Dark Souls fan, you're probably not coming up for air to play Slime Rancher. Probably not.
Maybe. I don't know. Because, okay.
Don't get me wrong. Where you live.
I lived the Dark Souls life for quite a while. And I still haven't beaten Bloodborne, but I appreciated Bloodborne. But then, you know, for something that's as heavy in terms of mechanic and placement and timing and execution, I could then spend, as of right now, 103 hours in Dragon Quest, where I could literally set the game on autoplay and not ever touch my controller.
Right. But, first of all, you're a unicorn. Yeah. That's why you're on the show.
Yeah. It's true.
And you were playing JRPGs long before the Dark Souls genre. And I'm going to call it that because it seems like every game that's coming out now is trying to be the Dark Souls of its genre. So Dark Souls is a genre
by definition. Dragon Quest is the Dark Souls of JRPD. Dark Souls of JRPGs.
You know what I mean? Like,
it's all bullshit.
I know, but it's true.
I know. It's very true. You're right.
Like, there's so many games. Like, there's so many people. Like, when we were at PAX East, there were so many people who were introducing their games as the Dark Souls of this.
I know, you're right.
Or the Dark Souls of that.
It's the Dark Souls of Cooking Mama. Like,
you know,
fuck out.
Right? And it's just like, to your point, innovate. Don't just fucking copy.
Right.
You know? Like, this Call of Duty is legit the PUBG of Call of Duty. Because it's Battle Royale.
We're going to start calling things the PUBG?
No, everything's going to be the Fortnite.
Either way. Like, you know, when something's not broke, there's no need to fix it.
Right,
like,
and all I'm saying is...
Rockstar has their business plan, they have their theme set up, they know what they're gonna do, and they're gonna do it, and that's fine.
So, saying is you're not interested in you downloading a 105-gig game, and also your husband downloading a 105-gig game.
Right, because one, like, both of us...
That's 210 gigs!
That's a lot of gigs, and... We both have PS4s in our home, but none of them are pros. Like, and we're now getting to a point now where, like the game that I'm going to talk about later on today in the show, we had to, like, uninstall four games from the living room PS4, which is promptly his, to make room for this game. And, like, now it's getting to a point where, you know, we have to look at what we have stored on our hard drives on the systems and make decisions about that.
Or install a larger hard drive.
Or, you know, maybe think about just buying pros. But, like, whatever. So, like, but I'm just saying that, you know, like, it's getting to a point now where we're, like, we're having those discussions and we're making those decisions where before, you know, in my young 30s and late 20s, I'll just download it, whatever. And now I'm being, like, more aware of what I am doing.
Well, games are much bigger now than when they were in your 20s and 30s as well.
Right.
Like, you know, like,
bigger now.
I feel you on that because I uninstalled 4 games on my PlayStation to put, I think it was the Destiny expansion.
And I mean, because like, and this isn't even a matter of like our save data and stuff is still on it, but like the fact that we
it's game space. It's game space. Yeah. I installed 4 games so that right now my PlayStation is maxed out pretty much on storage for, and it's holding Detroit, God of War, Destiny 2, including the Forsaken pack, Headlander, and Journey. And that's all that can be on my PlayStation because unlike my Xbox, I would have to crack open the PlayStation, install a new drive, and transfer the data over. Versus right. with my Xbox, I can just plug in an external. Like, my next step is right now I have on all my Xboxes at least 2 terabyte external drive. On my core box, I am going to get Seagate's 8 terabyte, which is like less than $150 right now on Amazon. And that's just plug and play. You literally plug it in and it's like, hey, there's a drive connected. Do you want to use it for game storage on this machine? You say, yep. And it's like, cool, give me a second. And literally less than a minute later, it's like, great. And you see the percentage of your hard drive filled because it shows you in the left corner, like the percentage of your hard drive that is filled with game storage. And so it immediately goes from like 75% to like 10. And you're like, I can have all the games.
It tickles the nostalgia button a little bit for me, like the fact that we've had to have these discussions about like uninstalling things, because like I go back to my old PlayStation 2 days where it's like, oh man, I have to save all my data on this little sticky thing that I just shove in the front of my, you know, and like I just remember having the flash cards, like I don't even remember what those
memory
were
cards. I still have some of my memory cards with some of my game saves on them.
And like I would put the little note sticky on it and be like, these are my RPG saves and these are my fighter saves. And yep. Like I felt all organized and shit.
Yep.
And
like, this is where my Crash Bandicoot saves go.
And I know that this is like a very antiquated thing, but like it tugged on the strings a little bit because like, and the fact that all the games I had were all on disc, like they all sat on their own little device and they never ate into my device. And now my device is like where it stores also. So it's also a library and a repository.
Mm-hmm.
And like it does, you know, unless you're going to invest in the Boom Daddy machine, like eventually you're going to start burning. This is going to sound
well, bad. It's not necessarily
like burning books.
No, but legit, it is, you know, like torching a part of your memory. Like every time I take a game off, I have to remind myself I still have my save, so it's fine. I can bring it back at any point in time.
Oh yeah, I always freak out. Like when,
but more than likely, you know, the majority of the games that are on my system at any given time, I'm not actively playing those games all the time either. And so that's, I get to that same crossroads and I'm like, yeah, but when was the last time I actually logged into this game? Like, it's okay.
Right.
It's time for it to actually come off from physically taking up the storage space so I can put a game on here that I will actively play. Like, I actively play Journey. Whenever I need to find my zen and find my inner self moment and just kind of clear myself, Journey is my go-to game, so it makes sense that it permanently stays installed on the drive. You know, at some point in time, I will probably take Detroit off because it's a big space eater on my PlayStation. But I do like popping back in every so often just to the menu to see if, like, Chloe comes back.
Oh, mine did.
Oh, she came back?
Yeah, mine did.
Aw, mine hasn't come
back.
Because
they put the thing, they put the patch in that she could come back. And mine did.
Oh, I have to check again. Because I haven't checked in like 3 weeks.
She's not the Chloe that is aware of your actions before. Like, she's just kind of rebooted and is back. So, like, you kind of get fresh, clean state Chloe.
Oh, I wanted a Chloe that came back and was like, I've seen some shit.
No,
and it's better here.
No.
And you try to figure out what she's seen.
Right, no, they didn't.
Damn.
They did not do that.
Yeah, I haven't checked in like 3 weeks, so.
I mean, it may not hurt to check, so. But anyway, so I mean, but that's where we are at, where we're constantly thinking back and forth about what we're willing to uninstall and not have that on the forefront of our gaming minds. And like, that's where we are as like adults right now in our gaming life, which is.
I just feel like you're back in your JRPG world.
You know, I think it's just because, I'm just going to be straight up and honest with everybody.
That's what we do here. The truth circle.
Of our country has me on the edge of my very comfortable seat. And there are times where I feel like I want to run away and escape to a better place. And for me,
That better place is Japan.
Those games are RPGs that are highly fairy tale and romanticized. Mm-hmm. And are colorful and
possibly That's fair.
Have the best music. And, like, I can just not... I could be anybody.
So, definitely not Fallout 76.
Right, exactly. Like, and don't get me wrong. Like I said, I'm kind of really deep into Dragon Quest XI right now. And, I mean, the story, the narrative in that game is not all sunshine and rainbows. Not by a long shot. But, you know, when I jump into that game... You know, the big bad is this big dark anus in the sky kind of looking space squid thing. You know, and when I look at that, I'm like, okay, I can level up and attack that. But then when I sign out of that game, I'm like, I can't attack real life the way that I can attack. You know, because like in those games, like clearly the big bad is the big bad. He's purple, he's red, he's black, it hisses. Like you see the big bad, you know where it is, you know what you have.
But in a fantasy big bad still is kind of cute and good looking.
Well, no, this is literally like a dark anus squid in the sky. So it is
anus squid in the sky.
In the sky. Okay. Like literally it is like the most like it is not cute, like all the other things that I have killed in this game. Like, Hall have the big doe eyes, and, like, you feel bad for hitting them a little bit sometimes. But this thing, I'm like, no, that's evil. It doesn't even have a smiley face on it. I do not have a problem ramming my sword into it. Like, okay. You know, fair. So they purposely made the ultimate big bad look menacing and evil so that you don't feel bad about what you're going to do to it later, essentially. Mm-hmm. You know, but I'm just saying, like... In those games, they give you the set, like, you are the epitome of good. That is the epitome of evil. You guys will clash because without one, there cannot be the other. You're the chosen one, Harry. You're a wizard. And, and chosen this is what you gotta one. Do. But when you jump out of games like that into your reality, you know, I'm a 34-year-old wife with no children who has a pretty awesome job. But also, you know...
You live in America.
I live in America. So, it's like... And there's no like, oh, I see the giant, you know, orange anus in the sky and I have my sword of light and I know what I need to
do. Yeah,
like,
you can't.
I don't have that.
You
here.
Do have your sword of light. It's called your vote. Anyway, moving right along because we're not a political podcast. We are a game podcast. I'm both interested and disinterested in this holiday season because I'm not going to play Fallout 76. It just is such a big game and... I don't know that I have room in my heart for pretty much playing nothing but open world games.
I mean, like, I generally do, but I probably won't play it just because right now I need my sunshine and rainbows and my soft marshmallow clouds for right now.
Maybe, so what you're saying is you need to pick up Mario Party and we should play Mario Party.
Actually, I was debating on getting it. Like, I thought about maybe after Dragon Quest XI going back and playing some Stardew Valley and, like, growing some shit. Like, growing some watermelon and grapes and shit. Mm. Just retreating into the simpler days of
existence. You should get Mario Party so that way the next time I come over we can play it.
So, like, we'll see. We'll see. So can I go first with my actual topic?
Absolutely. Today? Go for it.
Okay, so, because you brought up holiday, which
I did.
Which was, I thought, pretty convenient and a great segue for me because, you know, we're in October now.
We are.
You know? And for some of us, you know, who love certain holidays, you know, you love your Thanksgiving.
This is Halloween.
You get the food spread. It's Christmas. You get some gifts under the tree. New Year's, you get to drink with your
buds. Don't forget the Hanukkah. You skipped the Hanukkah. Right.
Well, I mean, I'm not Jewish, but you know, Hanukkah.
It's still a holiday.
Crazy nights. You know, the candle that lit for longer than it most likely should have. Thank you, Yahweh, Jesus, whoever you are. props to you and your power and glory. praise be and all of that. But
won't he do it though?
The devil be testing me, but But no, like, and there are some people who, like, really get into the spirit of Halloween, which, you know, and I like my horror games. Like, I've talked about many of them here on this show.
Yes.
I watch a lot of horror movies because, believe it or not, I feel like a lot of horror movies have some pretty in-depth, complex, for the most part, because some of them are, you know, pretty much like Nintendo shovelware. Some of it's complete shit. But sometimes you get a horror story narrative that is complex and, you know, full-bodied and appreciates being, you know, analyzed.
But is that truly a horror or is that a thriller?
That's really kind of a great topic because I feel like depending on how a narrative is shaped, horror and thriller can kind of
nasty blurred line.
They could, they're like fraternal twins. They could happen at the same time,
mm-hmm.
and at the, you know, but not look exactly the same or feel exactly the same. So I mean, that's totally a topic for a different podcast, not here.
Truth. Okay, fine. But, all right.
But
I'll shut up.
Maybe I'll write about it because I'm
that'd
very,
be nice.
Very into it. Because, you know, Halloween is upon us. People are getting their costumes ready. People have already been starting, you know, watching their, like, religious horror movies for the season.
The Nightmare Before Christmas, which always messes me up because I'm like, guys, it's a Christmas movie.
I will see, I think that movie is meant to be a transitional movie. You could watch it on Halloween, preparing for Christmas.
Or if you watch
it for Christmas. Because you now miss
but then you have to pause because you have Thanksgiving right smack dab in the middle of it in the U.S.
Right. But, I mean, I feel like there are some people who don't really appreciate what Thanksgiving could really be. And we haven't had a decent Thanksgiving movie ever,
no,
really,
we don't.
In my personal opinion.
Well, what was it? No. That's just a regular travel.
Were you
going to
say soul food? Because I don't think
No.
Was that a Thanksgiving movie or was that just a Sunday dinner
movie? No, that was just a Sunday dinner movie and I wasn't going to say soul food. No, I was thinking Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, but he was just trying to get home. I don't think he was trying to get home for a holiday.
So,
and then
so I'm
Uncle
just saying,
Buck
like,
isn't
I think
a
we
holiday.
Need like a decent Thanksgiving movie to like bring people back to Thanksgiving, which is why, you know, because we don't have that, it's not really,
dude,
people don't really look
all,
at it.
All
I mean,
I'm saying
I
is,
like
I, look, I love Thanksgiving because mashed potatoes for days. But here's the thing. All I'm saying,
bitch.
Dude, like all the foods, okay? Like, I'm not getting into them because we're not a food podcast. But all I'm saying is, because I've had this conversation many, many times and with some people it turned into an argument. The Nightmare Before Christmas, you can absolutely watch it in October. I love the movie.
Yeah.
I own it.
I absolutely agree. Me too.
I went out of my way to get a Jack Skellington Disney Infinity figure when Disney Infinity was a thing, right? And it's one of my prized Disney Infinity figures. I love the movie. But it is a Christmas movie because the focus is you start the movie and Halloween is past. Like Halloween Town is ending its celebration and Jack is looking for the new thing and becomes infatuated with Christmas. And they're focused on him messing up Christmas, having to free Santa
so
Santa can fix Christmas.
I don't think it's about him messing up Christmas. I think it's him wanting to put his spin on Christmas.
But it's not his dealy my bob.
Right.
So it doesn't
right.
quite
it's
go
not his
right.
swim lane. He learns
right.
quickly it's not his swim lane, and then he
right.
tries to correct it because
so
sometimes curiosity gets
right.
to a place where it
so
becomes
so Santa has to be saved from Oogie Boogie, and then Santa saves Christmas.
Santa
That's like the whole
Santa course corrects. And the great thing of, like, the thing I love.
But that's the whole back half of the movie. So, like.
Is that, like, Santa's not even, like, yeah, he's a little upset that, you know, he got, like, kidnapped by, like,
yeah.
You know,
but he's Santa, so it's not like
he's
going to, like, kill him.
Happy Halloween. Right. But, like, he's all, like, happy Halloween. Like, after he does his bit, like, he's like, I'm not mad at you, Jack. Like, you just wanted to experience and like something new and your imagination ran wild with you and like that childish fever is what I as Santa
right.
love. Like
right.
I get
Santa's
like,
not
I
hating
get it,
on
but
Jack.
I get it.
Right.
So
but like swim in your lane, bruh. All I'm like, saying is, I'll three quarters this. Of the movie.
You handle that. On right. Thanksgiving, we could meet up.
And we come talk together. About stuff. And you know what? You come visit my shop. Maybe you can make some toys. I'll show you how I do my thing. Like, let's do a holiday exchange. I'll come to Halloween Town. I'll bring right. some elves. Like, we could do like, this thing and like be buddy.
It could
bloody.
Have been handled better, but this was just, you know, that excited, you know, tingle of, oh my God, this is something new and I have to be all about it. And right. like, the dark side of that obsession. That's what that movie is about.
Yeah, it is. Anyway. And I love it. I love it.
Right.
But
I love it
is
too.
A Christmas movie. It's and not a Halloween
I feel,
movie.
I feel it's a transition movie. You could watch it.
Okay. It's just place. Like Die Hard. Die Hard you is could. A Christmas movie.
Yes. Yes, it is. It's a Christmas movie for your dude bros.
It is. But it's a Christmas movie.
It's a I completely believe that also. But anyway, so going back to Halloween and everyone doing yes. their religious thing, and for some people, it's mm-hmm. watching you know their favorite franchise,
their personal religious thing, or your pagan religious thing. Clarify.
I mean, for some people, they want to watch all the Friday the 13th, or some of them want to watch The Nightmare on Elm Street. Some people are watching The Saws. Actually, are we getting any
Some people are actually
here?
Going out and celebrating the solstice because they're pagan.
Like, some
Remember,
people are celebrating the solstice.
We live near Salem, Massachusetts, so when you say do your religious thing for Halloween, that could be a little loaded.
I mean, there are some of us ladies, females, who are all like, I gotta load up Hocus Pocus at least 2 times before Halloween.
No, Bette Midler got canceled, though.
What?
Bette Midler got canceled. Are you not paying attention to Black Twitter?
No.
Yeah, Bette Midler shared that really bad quote by Yoko Ono saying that women are the N-word.
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, so we had to put, Hocus Pocus on hiatus this year.
Well, sorry that maybe other black females are going to do that, but I personally, I got to have my Hocus Pocus.
I will say this, Hocus Pocus 2, definitely not happening.
Probably not now, but anyway, but I'm just saying, everyone has their ritual.
Everybody has their tradition for the holiday, yes.
So, and I mean, and it's actually really funny because, like I said, like, I'm a horror, I wouldn't say junkie, like, I'm not that person. No,
but you're an enthusiast, you're a fan.
On Halloween night at 11:30 with one of my college boyfriends. I am not that person. Yes, I am. But anyway, I've slowed down a little bit on that. And my husband...
You enjoy it.
I do. My husband the other day was, hanging out with some of his game bros on his PS4. And a bunch of them had decided to buy, or rather play, the Friday the 13th, the game, because it was free. Because, Sony was smart and put a horror game free with your PS4 gold account. So, like, 8 of them got it. They were trying to convince my husband to play it. And he's like, it feels janky. I don't want to bother it. But then he bought it. He downloaded it anyway. And I was like, this motherfucker doesn't even like horror games. Like, this is literally, like, one person's Jason, the other people are counselors. And either the counselors have to find a way to take out Jason or Jason's going to murder people. But anyway, I sit quietly.
It's a survival game like Evolve.
It is. Except, here's the thing about it. Because a lot of people, when they first, started jumping into this game, were like, oh, like, this is completely like Evolve, where it's like 4v, or I think you can have up to 8 people in a session. So like 7v1. Mm-hmm. But it's really, it starts off that way. It can be that way. And in my mind, I'm italicizing can. Because depending on the group that you get, because if you don't do a private match, like you can do like a public match where very much like Splatoon and stuff like that, you get matched up with similar leveled people. And, if you're not all in the same chat, like some people will make like a party chat so that everybody can hear each other. But the way that the game is set up, when you get dropped into the maps, you only hear what's near you. So if you're not near another player, you don't hear anybody because they're trying to bring that essence of horror and isolation.
Mm-hmm.
So these guys are all in a party chat, so they're all talking to each other. So it's already kind of breaking the illusion of what the game is trying to set up. And like I said, my husband doesn't watch horror movies. Like when I sit there and I try to talk to him about it, and I have to say, like, I completely kind of Amanda-splain to him because he'll say something about a genre and I'll be like, actually, you're wrong. because of this.
Do you adjust your glasses?
I've done it a couple of times, you know, but I sit quietly because I want to see what he'll do. As someone who is not, you know, I don't want to say a fan, but someone who is not immersed in the horror genre at all, ever, jumping into a game that, you know, for people who have watched Friday the 13th, like, they get all the Easter eggs. Mm-hmm. Or, like, they understand what they're supposed to aim to do.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I'm sitting there quiet, or at least trying to be, and I'm listening to
all these guys. I was about to say, you? Quiet?
I'm trying. And I'm watching, because for the first few sessions, my husband was Jason. And, like, the controls are a little, they need to be worked on a little bit. Like, they are not very intuitive. But, you know, Jason as a horror character is not necessarily intuitive. Like, it's a very id, he's a very, it is a very id-driven villain.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, it actually kind of really depends on where in the franchise you land for that debate. But I'm not going to get into that. But anyway.
Well, isn't this game based off of the original first movie?
No. So the game actually spans over several of the Friday the 13th
movies. Oh, okay.
So the thing is, when you jump into the game, you generally, you know, if you have a full team, like if you have a full room, I think, like I said, you can have up to 8. So one person gets either voted as Jason or, like, decides to be Jason. And you can, the others have a chance to be a counselor. And these are all counselors who have appeared in the movies.
Okay.
And all of the counselors have already base stats based on who they are. So you have some who are very, I'm going to say nerdy, but I don't mean this in a negative way. But you've got some who have really high intelligence.
Mm-hmm.
And then you've got some who have better stamina. And then you have some that are, like, pretty much base across the board. Like, they have pretty equal stats throughout.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, and the whole point of this game is, you know, you're trying to survive the night. And you're trying to outwit Jason. And, you know, remember, Jason is a supernatural-ish being. Now, granted, if you know anything about the horror genre, you know, you realize that actually the first Friday the 13th, Jason isn't even actually the killer in that.
Correct.
And some people like...
Spoilers!
Spoilers if you've never seen it. but a lot of people like to have the debate that actually the Friday the 13th isn't really a horror movie. Granted, it is. But, you know, if you take out the perspective that, you know, this was a movie about, you know, a grieving mother who felt, you know, felt that kids, some, you know, young horny kids weren't doing their job and wanted, it's more of a revenge film. And yep. Then at the end of that, you actually got your first glimpse of the demonic entity or the demonic energies that bore Jason into existence. And that's when 2, 3 and all that take off. So it's really funny because when you first jump into the game, like, I was watching my husband, he's like, guys, like, I've only seen the Jason from the second movie, the third movie, and I'm laughing because I'm like, that's because you never watched the first one. I'm like, and, like, the game kind of sets up, like, some of these spoilers a little bit. Because he's like, yeah, where's the Jason for the, like, where's the model from the first movie? And I'm like, and I don't say anything because I don't want it to, you know, but I laugh internally because I know, and anyone who's ever seen the movie knows. But anyway, you only have so much time to either, you know, summon the police to the map, because once you do that, anybody who is who is still alive, if they go to where the flashing cop lights are, they make it out of the map.
Mm-hmm.
You can attempt to kill Jason, and it's excruciatingly hard to do it. And I love how the, I think it's Illphonic or Triple Iphonic, I don't know how they call, but the developers of this game decided to pretty much gather all these little nuances from the movies and put some of them together to give you a kill state for Jason. Because, I mean, this is a horror movie where, you know, the big bad is never, ever fully defeated.
Mm-hmm.
He is taken out for a time, but then somehow comes back. And Illphonic or Triple Iphonic, however they want to call, you know, name themselves, set it up so that there are several very hard things that the counselors have to do in order to actually kill Jason on the map, which I thought was genius. So you could definitely tell that there was a lot of love for the
Now, this is
material.
A suspense game because you don't, the counselors don't just have like weapons to start with, right? They have to
search for them. So, I mean, generally what it seems to happen is when the map loads, if you've got more than, I'd say if you have more than like 4 or 5 people, they all will generally spawn around-ish each other. Not like right on top of each other, but like mm-hmm. a couple will be in one cabin and like some will be in another place. And Jason always starts off in his shack. And I mean, and if you're paying attention, like they kind of show you everything that you possibly, like you could potentially, you know, put together that, oh, there might be a way to like weaken Jason or do something. But Jason always starts off in his shack. Where, you know, the decaying head of his mother and her sweater is on, like, this altar with candles and shit. And, like, you hear her voice, like, tell them, like, go kill them. Like, go show them. And mm-hmm. then, like, you gather some of your throwing knives. Because your base Jason always starts off with a couple of throwing knives and some traps. Because, you know, he's out to kill some counselors. Like, you know, he's gotta have his survival.
Gotta have some
traps. Within the first 2 minutes of the map loading, if you're there as a counselor, the ideal thing for you to do is to find a weapon. Now, like I said, all the counselors have different stats based on, like, who they were in, you know, the movie. So, like, if you had, like, a sporty counselor, like, they probably had more stamina, which means they could run mm-hmm. a little bit more. But, you know, like, if they found, because, like, the whole point is you are trying to find gas, car keys, and, like, I'm trying to think what the other thing is. A battery, because there are 2 cars on the map, always.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a 4-door car, and there's a 2-door car. So, like, you know, dickery can happen fairly quickly. Dickery do happen, okay? So... But there's always 2 cars. And then in some cases, there's a boat. Now, for anyone who knows the movies, or the first movie, you don't want to be...
Don't take the boat.
Well, I mean, here's the thing. Because, like, it's really funny. Because the boat actually moves faster than the cars do.
Uh-huh.
But it's riskier because Jason... Because, you know...
Because Jason. Movie, because Jason.
Jason drowns. The little kid Jason drowns in the first movie. And, you know, so Jason moves incredibly fast in water. So you don't want to be swimming in Crystal Lake.
Uh-uh.
Because Jason could get to you, like, at the drop of a dime and, like, kill you. But, like, the boat doesn't take nearly as much components as the cars do. You know, but it's riskier. The risk is
higher. Don't take the boat.
if you get all the shit for the boat, like, okay, good for you. But also the boat can only hold 2 people. So, like, if you're playing with a full team of 7, only 2 of you will make it out on that boat. So, like, have a contingency plan. You know what I'm saying?
But anyway. I have only successfully seen 1 person on YouTube in the watches of the Friday the 13th game that I've done successfully make it with the boat. Everybody saying, I've seen pretty much has gotten caught by Jason.
On the map. Like, it's not always on the map. But yep. Anyway, so there's a whole bunch of conditions that people can be aiming to do to prolong, you know, to elude Jason, to, you know, slow him down, and potentially either run out the clock and survive the night, which should be your absolute last resort thing to do. Like, you should always be trying to aim to restore the power lines and the phone lines so you can call the police, because then I think the sessions are only, I want to say they're 15-minute sessions, so you only have 15 minutes. But when you call the police in this game, it cuts it down to 5, so Jason has even less time to kill you. So you want to be doing that, or you want to be trying to fix up one of the cars to get off the property. And like I said, there is the special kill condition to kill Jason, but you have to have an in-sync team with great time management skills to be able to achieve it.
You basically need a project manager and people actually following the project manager's direction in order to make that happen.
Well, you just need a team that's willing to communicate with each other and, you know... not be prepared to, you know, sacrifice anybody for it. Because literally, you have to go into the lion's den. And I kind of want to talk about exactly how that works a little bit.
Okay.
Maybe I'll do that on a separate show. But, like, it's free on Xbox right now. Or rather, I should say, it's free on PS4. I think you can buy it on Xbox. You can play it on your lap. Like, you can play it on your computer if you want to. And I mean, like, it was just
Is there crossplay?
I don't believe there's crossover between platforms. So I think PS4 can play with PS4, Xbox can play with Xbox, and computer can play with computer. I don't believe Apple got in on this, which is kind of disappointing. But if you, like me, enjoy Halloween, then, like, this game was fun to watch. Like, halfway through, I think, 2 or 3 sessions, I watched my husband, one, falter at being Jason. I had to give him some Jason tips. And I was like...
How to Jason?
Yeah. I was like, first of all, get all the fucking knives, because you're going to need them to throw at the counselors. 2, get to the phone box first and put a trap there. Because anytime you put a trap down, if someone, triggers it, it alerts you as Jason that your trap's gone off. So, like, you want to hinder the counselors as much as you possibly can. Like, you don't want to just go straight into the killing. I mean, unless you're, like, a professional Jason, which, I mean, then cops get them. But, you know, like there's a strategy to it. And I was like, so you should be aiming for that first. Slow them down. There's a RNGesus fear counter in each of the counselors. Mm-hmm. So, like, sometimes you just want to walk by one in a cabin and break a window. Because that might increase their fear level. And if they get to a max fear, they don't run as fast. They stumble a lot. And it gives you a better chance to grab them and do the murdering.
That's actually a really interesting mechanic.
It is. Like, and at first I didn't notice exactly what it was. But at one point, like, my husband was a counselor. And one of his friends was doing a very good job Jasoning. I had to jump onto his mic. And I'm like, I've been watching you. You clearly know what you're doing. Kudos to you. And he was like, who are you? And I'm like, I'm this guy's wife, and I've been watching you. And I appreciate the fear that you were instilling in everybody. It was juicy. It was like butter on steak. It was a juicy, juicy steak. But literally, like, he would just walk around, and he'd, like, because Jason has a sensor ability. Like, and he only tracks you through sound, which is also something I didn't really talk about. So, like, you know, if counselors move slow, they don't make a lot of noise, you know, and if, like, they hold their breath, they're quiet. So, like, he only hears you if you're making a lot of noise, which makes it easier for the Jason to find you. But he was finding them, and then, like, if they were in a cabin, he would just break a window. And all of a sudden, they'd become far clearer in his hearing sense. So I was like, oh, the more fear they have, the easier it is for him to get them. And I was like, that's genius. You know, and like, and you can, with your weapons, fight Jason, but you can never kill him. Like, you can hit him with a bat, or you can shoot him with a gun, and it will stun him for so many seconds. But you can never outright kill him unless you do the special win conditions, which, like I said, needs at least 2 characters to do. And you need them, one to be a dude and one to be a chick. And there's a lot of different steps into it. I was reading about it because I was like, oh, that's so genius. That's so clutch. Good on you, Illphonic or Triple Iphonic, like, for really delving into the source material to really find all the things that made Part 2 and Part 3 and Part 4 iconic in their own rights, sort of. You know, because you got little bits of all of them in the game. Now, granted, there's leveling up, where you can make your Jasons far more powerful. You can make your counselors more powerful. So, like, you could take more damage, or you could run for a little bit longer, or you could become better at fixing things and stuff like that. So the more you play, obviously, the better your characters get. And that's across the board. So any leveling up you do, you can allot that to your counselors or to the Jason whenever you're the Jason.
Okay.
And, like, it's fun. So I went and I downloaded it because I kind of want to jump in and play with my husband's crew a little bit, because, one, I don't think most of them play or watch horror movies and don't really understand the things I've kind of talked about today, particularly. So I kind of want to jump in and be like, guys, let me be the Jason. Let me show you how it's done. Kind of, sort of.
But so press like, go make me X a sandwich. To Jason?
Press X to Jason. But no, I really dug it. And it's completely free for PS4. So, like, well, it's still there. And it's free until Halloween on the exact day. So if this is something you're curious about, or hey, if you could even play with me, because, like, I want to play it with people that I know. Like, I know I can't jump into a base game because I haven't leveled up anything yet, and I don't want to jump into public until I have some levels under my belt.
One, like, really does not jump into public.
No, no. So, like, press X to Jason and, like, enjoy the spooky season. And why not be the serial killer instead of the counselor? Like, this is the one time where we're like, we could totally do it. So, like, why not, like, consider it?
I don't know. To me, kind of, in all honesty, in those movies, which I stopped watching, the Friday the 13th movies, I think after the third one.
I don't blame you.
Yeah. I always saw Jason as kind of the hero. Also, his mom is the hero.
Well, I mean...
And spoiler. You know, like, as much as they're just going around and killing people, to your point, one is a revenge flick.
Yes, the first, the original movie is a revenge.
It is a revenge movie flick, which, you know, I tend to enjoy a good revenge flick. And I didn't see it coming when I watched it originally because I was quite young when I saw it the first time. And I enjoyed it. And then in the second one, I just kind of enjoyed the way that the counselors were typically portrayed. They were kind of douchey. You weren't really rooting for them to live.
Right. It's not like they were all wholesome and pure and it was an honest mistake. Like, literally, his demise came from two counselors, you know, not doing their job and deciding that their gratification was worth not watching, you know, and, like, could have been avoided. Like, all of that could have been avoided if they had just, you know, not been horny teenagers.
And I mean, so I think that's one of the reasons why I enjoy, you know, as a whole, the Friday the 13th franchise versus the Freddy Krueger movies or, you know, the...
I mean, there's a lot in the Nightmare on Elm Street, though, too.
Like, there's a big lore when you get there. When you get deeper there, yes, but, like, on just movies 1 and 2 versus each other... Just 1 and 2.
Yeah. Okay. I will not argue that. You got a valid point.
Elm Street.
You got a point.
That's all I'm saying.
It took Nightmare on Elm Street more than 4 movies.
Right.
Like, oh, by the way, there's actually a backstory here.
And you should know it. And when you get to the backstory, I'm with you. It's deep and you have a new appreciation for the franchise when you get there.
Right.
But you got to get to there. And I didn't get...
It's the same with Halloween. Like, I'm actually really surprised that we haven't really seen, like, a Halloween survival horror. Like I could totally see them doing Halloween.
I'll be honest with you. I think if Friday the 13th had done a little better, you would have seen a Halloween movie. Like, a Halloween game very similar to it.
The big three villains, like, horror movie villains, I feel like Michael Myers... Like, the narrative on Michael Myers alone, I feel, is so much stronger.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if in my order of narrative, it literally goes Michael Myers. I'm gonna say Freddy from Nightmares on Elm Street only because once you got past the fourth movie and you actually got backstory, you're like, oh, shit. Oh, that's cool.
Uh-huh.
Wish you could have done this at 2 and built me into the later movies.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, Jason kind of starting the gate with the, oh my gosh, by the way, here's this twist that opens up this whole narrative.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, and cinematic genius. I just can't.
But try.
That's the thing. And I think these narratives, one, I think would do fairly well in a tangible medium, like a video game and stuff like that. There's just so much there. I would so love to see
a stronger incorporation
of some of the classics into the scape.
Agreed.
Sorry, I ran my mouth so much, but it's just so good.
It's a good run. It's a good run. And I enjoy a good, scary, spooky game, but not like a typical survival horror, because they just tend to go way too much on the jump scare and gore end, as opposed to, like, the psychological thriller. Like, I enjoy psychological thriller games. I don't enjoy what survival horror typically is, which is we're going to give you low ammo or no ammo, a shit ton of jump scares.
Right.
Well, and some excruciatingly timed quick time.
And that's like the great thing about Friday the 13th, the game, for me personally, is because all the fear comes from the setting.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's a quiet camp. it's nighttime. Like, you're hearing, like, crickets. You're hearing, like, twigs snapping off trees. Like, it's not, like, there's no, like, overly oppressive music trying to, like, inflict that suspense on you, the player. The game really does a great job of putting you in the mindset, oh, I'm a camp counselor at Crystal Lake at night, which, one, why? There ain't no kids at the camp at night. What you doing there? Like,
if it's an overnight camp, there is kids.
Right, but there aren't, because there are no small children on the map. It's just you counselors.
They could be asleep in a bunk.
No, because you're in bunks, and there are no small children there. So, like, I was like, what you guys all doing
here? Maybe it was the last day of camp, and so they're having their last night hurrah before they all go home.
Right? So, see, you're starting to build the universe a little bit. Because, like, in my mind, I'm like, why are they all there at night? Like, why is that happening? Because, like, in the movies, yes, there are kids there, but there are none on the map. So, like, but whatever.
It was probably last day, and they done sent the kids home, and now they're going to have their drunken debauchery.
They're going to get there, right, possibly. I don't know. But the great thing about the game is, like I said, like, there aren't too many jump scares because, one, there are musical cues that let, one, Jason know when he's around a counselor, and also, like, his little starts playing in the counselor's ears when he is close by.
So, like, I legit got goosebumps when you did that.
I'm sorry. but like, it's not, like, the overly oppressive, but, like, the closer he is, the louder that got. So, like, they're giving you the story guideline rules that you need to help you better navigate the universe, which I like. Because in most horror games, you've got the horrible music. There's, like, blood all over the walls. Like, they're setting a far more gruesome scene than a horrible scene. Like, a horror scene. They're going for a cheaper scare. But this is, like, a very cult... Like, this is a fine wine of scares for me. Because this is a long, slow build. That, you know, like, if you never bump near Jason, you never hear that, and you're just at the mercy of a quiet, dark camp at night. You know, you might hear one scream across the lake, but it's super faint, and you're not even sure if that was, like, a human scream or an animal scream. So, like, you're a little scared, but, like, you've had no real reason to feel true terror until all of a sudden, like, you catch, you know, a glimpse of him in the window. And then you hear the
You just had to do it again, didn't you?
I did! But I'm just saying, like, the levels of, like, the careful levels that this developer went to, like, because they could have gone for the cheap, like, oh, you guys are all in, like, a small house and everything's barricaded and there's nails everywhere and you can't get out. But, like, it's really up to you whether you survive this or not. So, like, this was, like, a really nice, you know, vignette into the survival horror genre for me, because while it has all the foundations and the principles that I appreciate in my survival horror games, it took me back to the basics that got established in these films, in these classic horror films, and I dig it. So, like I said, like, if you're curious about it, like, one, like I said, it's free, so, like, you don't even have to put money on it, but I think you'll be pleasantly surprised by it. So, like, the next time you come over, sis, I'm going to have to put it on so you can see what I'm talking about. And I'll have all my lights on. I'll give you a support pillow.
No, dude, I've watched plenty of people play the game. Oh, it's one of the few games that I actually have enjoyed. Like, I haven't played it just because, like, owning it wasn't a thing that I wanted to do. But when it came out, like, I really liked the idea. Just, like, Evolve. So, like, I watched mad people play the game. And, like, I was backseat driving Jason's all the time. Because I was like, if you're playing this game, why would you not want to be Jason? Like, that's where the fun is.
Believe it or not, I actually think that they balance this out enough. Where, like clearly...
Let me phrase it. I only want to play Jason.
You want to be the villain. But if you get a good team together, you'll be like, guys, we should totally, like, figure out how we're going to take out Jason. And, like, let's do this. Like, the camaraderie level versus, like, the full onslaught. Like, come on. So, if you're curious, like I said, it's available for free until the 31st of October on the PS Network. You can buy it on Xbox. You can, if you have a Windows machine, you can use it on the Windows machine. But, like, I would strongly suggest, like, get some pals. Get some pals. Because I think it's just funner with people that, one, that you know. And two, if you're somebody who gets kind of jittery and jumpy, if you're in a party chat with people that you know, like, someone's going to be the clown easily. Like, literally, at one of the games I watched with my husband, he put on the Benny Hill theme when he was Jason. So instead of the ki 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 ma ma ma, people just heard Benny Hill. And, like, they'd be like, oh, God, is that Jason? And, like, you can take the horror out of it and just put more fun. Like, they make it so that you can make the play session whatever you want to make it. So, like...
I don't know. I would be more weirded out if I was in the freaking forest and Yakety Sax started playing out of no place.
Dun, 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 dun. Oh, God, it's Jason. Run. you can do whatever you want in the scenario, but if you want to play it the way I feel the developers wanted you to, you don't want to be in a party chat. You want to use the game chat because, like I said, you only hear the entities that are around you. So if you're not near any of the counselors, you'll never hear them. And also the same with Jason. So like that, when they played it that way, like it felt very much like I was watching a movie. And I was like, yes, that's what they were aiming for. And it's like, it's pure gold. Like it really is. Like I said, some of the controls are a little wonky. And I know that they're going to do a patch to help with the controls a little bit. Because like I said, Jason does not control very, it's not intuitive, I should say. I have not played as a counselor yet, so I don't know if it's pretty much the same for being a counselor or not. Everyone's kind of learning, so I guess they're trying to make that as even keel as they can until they put that build back out. But, like, I was thoroughly impressed. So, like, check it out. Why not?
Yeah, nothing to lose. All right, so I'm going to go a little light on what I was going to talk about today.
I know, I'm sorry. I just had a lot.
No, it's fine. You don't have to apologize. I pretty much do this to you, like, most of the year. So it's fine. I'm like, I only have one thing to talk about. Now. And it turns into six things. And I'm like, okay, you've got 5 minutes. Go.
Go. I played a game. It was fun. It's free. Bye.
It's like summer book reports. Huh. No, so as far as what I've been playing, I did bite the bullet. I did the thing I said that I wasn't going to do. I did buy Assassin's Creed Odyssey. I did stick to my one gun, though, that I did say I was going to, and I was like, I'm not picking it up on release day. I'm going to give it a week, see how people respond to it, and then determine like whether or not I should jump into it. Just because, you know, I had some major concerns. You know, there seemed to be some bugs. Very, very similar to the Unity bugs with, you know, things not rendering the way they should or not blocking the way that they should. Just a couple of other things on how they were structuring the world that I had concerns about. So I was like, I'm going to wait. And some of the things that I was concerned about are in the game. I have experienced them myself, so I can say that for sure. Not so much like characters not rendering, but I have had instances where hitbox detection is way off, which is kind of a hard thing when you're first starting the game and you have like no level, because you start the game off as an adventurer. I did pick Cassandra because I was like, why the fuck would you want to be Alexios? Cassandra's just cooler. She's got a better attitude. I like her voice actor a lot. But it is an action game. It very much is a RPG because there are massive leveling, skill tree, weapon maintenance, management pieces. And you are playing the role of Cassandra, who is a mistios, basically a mercenary. You start getting peeks into her life in that she had a family, a mom, a dad, and a brother. So Alexios, you know, is known to Cassandra and vice versa. We don't know why starting off in the game, but something happened and they got separated. Cassandra got in a boat to try and find Alexios, ended up in a storm, washed up on a shore, and basically this grifter guy picks her up and basically takes her in. So she's a street orphan and this guy's a grifter, kind of a thief, but one of the lovable types, right? So, you know, they've made a makeshift family type deal. But as I'm playing through the game, as you're wandering through Greece, many times you'll go through forests and there are wild animals in the forest that will attack you and those that won't. Like, there's always goats, so you can kill them to get their skins and use those materials to craft other things. You've got to get a bunch of different materials in order to craft upgrades for your weapons, for any weapons that you want to keep, and you just want to keep upgrading them versus just buying stronger level ones when you're first starting out in the game. It has the same tree structures it had before, but when the hitboxes are off, let's say you're a level noob, so like not even like level 2 yet, walking through the woods. And because the game is really designed for you to explore the world, and it even tells you when you're setting it up, hey, you can play this where we'll show you every marker for everything and guide you basically by the nose through the whole story, or you can play it in the explorative mode and discover stuff yourself. And that's really the way the game is supposed to be played. Well, I picked that. The problem with that is you're a level noob walking through the forest. You don't know the forest that you're walking through is a wolf den, because it's not marked on the map that it's a wolf den. Because you don't know that it's a wolf den. And you don't know that it's not the baby wolf den for the mountain that you're on. No, it's the big wolf den. The wolf that is the alpha wolf of this den is 3 levels higher than you. You find this out when it bites you in the ass one time and you die. But now you know there's a wolf den. Because now there's a little paw print.
Hard head makes a soft ass.
Now there's a little paw print on your map. Don't go to there. It's a wolf den. And now you know it's a wolf den.
Go back when you level up and go exact your revenge.
And now you know it's a wolf den with level 5 wolves. The level 2 wolves are over here. Good luck with that. So that was like fun on the exploration side. I have not gone back and changed my game. I'm still leaving it in the explorer side. And that's basically, you got to walk to everywhere. And you have to figure out if you have to walk there. You do get a horse at one point. And you can, of course, you know, buy other horses, because microtransactions are a big thing for the Ubisofts. They like that a lot. They like the Helix credits. The Helix credits, you buy them with real money. They use them to buy fake money in the game. To buy weapons. Mm-hmm. They like selling you those. But it was interesting getting through some of the wolf attacks, because they move really fast. And what was appeared to be a straight strike vertically of my sword to this wolf's head didn't actually register a hit at all. And I think it's just because of how fast the wolf is moving versus I haven't upped the speed yet of my character. So there was just a natural slowdown in the system of rendering, and so it didn't register the hitbox. But that's really annoying and a problem in a game where you gotta kill stuff. Detecting when a character is on me enough that I can assassinate them versus just stand up in front of them and now alert the whole camp that I'm here.
Hey, friends.
Exactly. So that's happened a couple of times where I'm just like, I'm hopeful that those things will get addressed, because really right now that's my main like issue playing the game. You know, I'm not, and I've said this before, I'm not crazy about microtransactions and the way that Ubi runs the store for fixes. But I do like that there are some there, because they really do help me. So there are a lot of players that have chastised and really said negative things about Ubisoft for having a store within the game. Within the game, there are definite add-ons that, you know, are not necessarily things that you can unlock through gameplay, that you can get different armor sets, different ships, because you do have to do, you gotta have a ship in order to sail to different islands and do battles out on the open sea. But just like in the previous two games, Ubisoft has added to their store their Time Savers packs. And these are the one place where I feel like you can be a little bit questionable on the sales piece. But even at that, I ended up buying a couple of Time Savers. I bought a couple of Time Savers for Origins, because I don't regularly have 80, 90 days that I can put into a game. So to have a Time Saver where I can get a blister pack of drachma, the in-game currency, so I can quickly get new weapons as I level, as opposed to having to run every side quest in order to get the money to level up my weapon when I level up my character. That's a huge help for me. You know, when I can get all the map locations for special items, that's a huge time saver for me. And that's actually worth a few bucks, because I do want to find some of the weapons out in the world, because I don't want to buy every weapon and I don't want to run every side quest, you know, outside of the main story in order to get them. The only time saver that I think, you know, a lot of people have found to be controversial, and I just think, again, it's people not considering everybody who's playing the game and really just thinking about the hardcore set, is Ubisoft put in a time saver that is a permanent XP boost.
What?
Yep. Permanent 50% XP boost. So you buy that And it works across all your saves, which means you don't have to buy it every time you decide, okay, this is going to be my easy save, this is going to be my normal run through, and this is going to be my crazy hard run through. It is a permanent 50% XP boost for every save that you make moving forward from the time that you purchase it. Mm. So I basically get 50% more XP for everything I do.
Oh.
That's a huge time saver for me. You know, before you could buy limited time XP boosts and they work for like 4 hours or like a day. But this is a permanent XP boost across all your saves. I bought it because I've put like 127 hours into Origins. But that's since it came out. I don't have, you know, big 12-hour blocks that I can sit and plug and play games. I need to get my XP fast because XP is what levels my character. And the game really does restrict you. Like, there are certain areas of the map that you just, you can't even walk in unless you're a certain level. Because just the beasts in the woods before you even get to people will waylay to you.
Huh.
So it's very important that you level your character as well as you level your armor and your gear. The skill trees are back. They're broken up into hunter, which is all of your ranged, you know, bow tack skills that you have to work on. Then there's the warrior. That's all your melee stuff. And then there's your assassin stuff. And every time you level your character, you get an ability point that you can then add abilities. One thing that they are doing different in Odyssey, which I don't love, I will say that I'm going to get around it because I'm playing this on my Xbox. I'm going to be able to map some things to my paddles. But if you don't have a customizable controller, it pretty much is a shit trade-off because you know how typically you have your actions mapped to your gel buttons and then you have your supplemental skills mapped to the D-pad. So using Eagle Vision, equipping a smoke bomb or a poison dart, that's all mapped to and has been for many, many games, the D-pad on the controller, right?
Mm.
And you have one set of actions that are mapped to your gel buttons.
Okay.
Not in Origins. So in Origins, there are different skills that when you unlock them, you have to map them to a gel button. In order to get to them, you actually have to hold down the left shoulder button and then press the gel button that you've mapped it to.
Mm.
That's okay. A pain in the ass because what it's supposed to do is give you basically 8 skills that you can run through at any point in time. Your A, and then when you hit LB, we'll call it A1, right?
Okay.
So you have A and
like
A1, B and B1.
Though.
Yeah, right? Sounds really good. But when you're in the thick of battle trying to parry, which is left shoulder button and right shoulder button together, get your parry time right, and now you want to do a charge dash, you have to be able to very quickly go from double shoulder to shoulder and the gel button and remember which gel button you actually assign that fucking attack to.
Oh, yeah, I can see how that's shitty.
Because as you unlock different skills, you then have to trade out and be like, ooh, actually, I don't use this skill so much, so now I'm going to put this new skill in this slot. So what used to be your dodge forward and attack with double swords that I mapped to my LX buttons, I fucked up because I changed it to a different skill, and it just became my parry, my special parry. Well, I was trying to attack forward, so I'm special parrying, just standing where I'm standing, and, you know, the AI is good in that characters don't attack you one at a time, so I was just constantly dying because I was trying to fire off the wrong skill. So I'm going to map my parry to a paddle button so that I'm stopping the double shoulder, and that will hopefully help me train my shoulder button to just, my left shoulder button to just be when I'm trying to trigger off an ability. Your attacks, because you are attacking primarily with sword and spear, but there are other staffs on the melee side that you can unlock. That's all done with the trigger and the shadow, the right bumper. So it's basically right bumper's light attack, trigger's heavy attack. So all my fighting is done with my top two fingers and not my thumb on the gel pad, which is very silly to me, but it is what it is. So I'm getting used to it. I love the environment. It is absolutely gorgeous. Sometimes I just jump on top of buildings and stand there because when you do, after a while, the idle animation for Cassandra is she summons her eagle. It just rests on her arm and she just chills looking at her eagle and looking at the city. But it feels very much like a lot was thrown in to basically turn Assassin's Creed into Skyrim. And I got a lot of respect for Skyrim, but I'm not a fan of Skyrim. So the jury's still out yet on whether or not I love the game, but I am playing the shit out of it.
Huh.
I'm just going to tell you that.
I know for a while there, you were kind of like in the camp of, I'm not going to invest in this. Like, you were kind of on the fence a little bit. Now
yep.
I'm glad that
and the main thing that
for yourself first.
Yeah, the main thing that turned it around is, you know, I wanted it to get out into the world to see if it was having as many bad render issues as Unity was having. Because if that was the case, then I was just going to wait until they patched that all out before I bought it. Because experiencing just bad drops in-game makes me not want to return to it. I didn't finish Unity because it was so broken. And even after they fixed it, I didn't go back to it. And I didn't want to have that experience with Odyssey. So I was like, if there are issues, I'll hear about them within the first week and I'll wait until they've patched everything and my community tells me that it's actually good. So that way I can start it off on a good foot to begin with so I don't become jaded with it.
Right.
Because I was jaded with Unity. I almost didn't pick up Syndicate.
I know you didn't. I remember that.
So, you know, I would say right now the jury's still out for me on Odyssey of whether or not I love it. It's hard because I loved Origins. So very much I stack it up against Origin. And I'm really fighting myself to not do that and let me experience it as it is and not as I want it to be. So you'll hear more from me talking about Odyssey. And, you know, I think probably once I get off of my main island, because I've only been playing for like 6 hours, and start going to other places other than Ithaca, then I think I'll have a better experience of like the world. But it is kind of big. And I don't know if this is the point where Yubi needs to go, okay, we're not going to make any more open worlds bigger than this for this franchise. Because it's a bit much when you look at the map of like all the places you can actually go. And how long it takes me to traverse them. It's fun. But that being said, I'm in for a penny, in for a pound. So I'll have more stuff to share on Odyssey coming forward on our next episode of our podcast, as well as probably other ones in the future. If you enjoyed our podcast today, then please make sure that you subscribe. You can get our podcast in iTunes, either on the desktop or through the podcast application on your iOS device by searching for the Eshcast and subscribing. You can also get our podcast on Stitcher Radio, Google Play, VogNetwork.com, pretty much any place that fine podcasts are purveyed, you can get our show. You can even find it on our own website, ElectricSisterhood.com, where you can check out our entire archive of shows. You can check out all the great stuff that the entire content team is creating, news, reviews, and so much more. So make sure that you bookmark our site, ElectricSisterhood.com. Check it out daily on the reg. New podcast episodes going out every week. Typically by Tuesday. But if you enjoyed our show and you enjoy the content on our website, please make sure that you check out all the other amazing content creators that are part of our family. That includes our homie KBD, King Baby Duck, over at b3crew.com. He is talking about anime and manga and music and games and spinning some great artists, some that you've heard of, some that you haven't, but you really should. So please make sure that you check out b3crew.com and his podcast every other week, No Borders, No Race. It is phenomenal. And you can learn a little Japanese too. Be sure to check out our other homie, Hamsterman2049, smashedrook.com. He streams live on Twitch every Wednesday night at 9. New games and old games. You can jump on him in chat. Check out his site, smashrook.com. And of course, one of my favorite humans on the planet, Phil the Issues Guy, with Phil's Recap and Review on YouTube. Subscribe to his channel. It is some of the most entertaining TV recap shows that you will see upon the webs ever. It is just so random, and it's just so much fun. You can call in and live be part of his recaps, jump into chat, check out his entire archive of shows over at his site, issuesprogram.com. But please make sure that you hit him up on his YouTube. Like, comment, subscribe, hit the bell, do all those wonderful things. And then last but certainly not least, our homies at Nerd Crave, keeping you up to date with all the stuff that nerds crave, whether it's comic books, anime, manga, video games, movies, or more. If it's nerdy, then the nerds over at nerdcrave.com are talking about it. So with that, I've done all the business. It's time for us to get out of here. Until next time, folks, I'm Ninja Sister.
And I'm Pandalicious.
Titties.
Titties.